back to a special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live and on location.
Coming to you live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. It's cold here. Apparently not as cold as it is in Cleveland. You like that? Did you like that? That was my like, you are looking live.
You kind of threw up on yourself. It was pretty nice.
I didn't throw up on myself.
Hey, it's kind of like the puke tone. Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody, come on down. We're partying in Indianapolis. Going to St. Elmo's
tonight. Is it a party? What's the weather like there?
Freezing. If you went outside, your face like froze and then like fell to the ground. It was bizarre. I'm still looking for my lips. They fell off in my first foray outdoors. I have to use this cherry chapstick. Like the hotel knew. I walked down. They're like, oh, yeah, they have chapstick at the front desk. I'm like, wow, what a great hotel this Omni is. They got chapstick. They're just handing out chapstick to people. They're like, yeah, that'll be $250. They didn't even have the kind of chapstick that I liked.
That's no good, buddy.
I know, cherry chapstick, it gives my lips a little bit of a pinkish hue, which I'm not looking to have lipstick on.
It's up to 6 degrees. Are you coming back tomorrow?
I am driving back tomorrow, yeah.
You have a horrible day to drive back.
Thanks, Gibbs. You know what, man? Nobody wants to talk to you anymore about driving.
You know what? I didn't get to go, so I'm making everybody else's life miserable.
Why? I mean, give me a break. Everything you say is not positive about driving. Why can't it? You know what?
Dude,
it is what it is.
We're supposed to have, like, whiteouts tomorrow.
Gibbs, you know what, Macho Man?
I think you should stay in Indy till Sunday and partake.
Do you know what the Macho Man Randy Savage would say?
What would he say?
What it is what it is. Yeah. That's what he would say. I'm going to do what I got to do when I can do it. That's all I can ask for myself. And right now what I'm going to do is go to the phones, 216-578-0850. We got our guy Chevy in New Jersey. Chevy, what's up, bro?
Hey, guys. I really liked your talk today about the right side of that line.
Yeah,
imagine Lael Collins leading the way on that right side, and the new guy you're talking about, I mean, no longer having just a decent right side, now a dominant right side to go with the left side, we could really do some damage. And then you throw in a guy like Devontae Parker with our first pick, all we got to do then is get a tight end and a defensive game changer, and we're done.
And we're winning the Super Bowl. Chevy, we got to get a quarterback,
I think so.
We got to get a quarterback,
Johnny
too.
Johnny Football was talking to Ray, and he said he called him during one of his sessions. But we all know what that is in the program. We know that was making amends. The guys working the program, get him the O-line, get him the tight end, get him the receiver, and just cut him loose this year. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chev.
Bye, Chev. Thanks for the call. Lyle Collins, who looked very good in the drills today. In fact, they showed on one of the plays where he pulled from the guard position, and they have a drill to simulate that. And Sean O'Hara from NFL Network was commenting that he reminded him of Joel Batonio, the way that he was moving out there and looking so fluid. So it would be nice to add another Batonio to the mix. Obviously, as I've said many times, if you've got 53 Joel Batonios, you've got a Super Bowl. I think he's a great football player for the Cleveland Browns. Now, one person who has some good, strong opinions on what the Browns should do in this draft, and I'm fine with all this line stuff. I really am. I think that's good. I would love to solidify the right side. We can continue to run the football and play great D. Get me some receivers. You can tell me that I'm crazy. I don't care. I believe wide receivers are important in the NFL, and I think if Seattle had one more receiver, I think that would win that game easily in the Super Bowl. You need to have at least somebody that is a difference maker, somebody that you can go to, and somebody that helps open things up for other people. That's what I think is important, and that's what the Browns don't have. You look at New England, you say they don't have receivers, but you know what they do have? They have Rob Gronkowski, who creates mismatches, occupies two people, frees things up for a guy like Julian Edelman on the inside, frees things up for a guy like Brandon LaFell on the outside, and also frees up a Shane Vereen out of the backfield. In Seattle, they may not have the name guys in the passing game, but what they do have is that dominant run game with Marshawn Lynch. They also have Russell Wilson, who's a threat with his arm and his legs, makes good decisions with the football, and they are manufacturing that kind of those mismatches by utilizing the threat of motion and the threat of running from him. But if they have that one receiver that really changed the game as well there, and they've been trying to get that speed guy, that's why they trade. That's how highly they thought of it. I know people say, well, Seattle didn't care. They thought of it so highly that they gave up what they did to get Percy Harvin. Now, that ultimately ended up not working. It wasn't the right guy in their locker room, and they didn't tolerate it.
It worked the year they won the Super Bowl.
Well, he was there briefly, but he was hurt for most of that year. But my point is, they thought even themselves enough of having that difference maker at wide receiver at a skill position that they were willing to give up a first-round pick to get Percy Harvin. So they knew how important it was. That's my point. You still have to have one of those guys, and I hope that the Browns can get one of those guys because it'll make Andrew Hawkins more effective. It'll make Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell more effective. Oh, by the way, it'll help them out of the backfield if we decide to utilize running backs as pass catchers this year, which I think would be a novel concept and a wonderful thing, and I think John DeFilippo will do that. But we're going to talk to Daniel Jeremiah now, NFL Network draft analyst. He's at Move the Six on Twitter. This is what he thought when I talked to him earlier about what the Browns should do in the 2015 NFL draft.
Daniel, the Browns, again, two first-round picks this year. Where do you see them going at 12 and 19?
I've got them looking at the line of scrimmage with that first pick. Malcolm Brown from Texas is one of my favorite players in the draft class. Defensive lineman, he's stout versus the run. He can get off blocks. He's got range against the run. But then he also gives you some quickness inside to be able to rush the passer. So that's where I have him going with their first one. And then I have him looking for some size on the outside, staying in the Big Ten there. Devin Funchess from Michigan. He's played tight end. He's played receiver. You can make a case the Browns could have a need at both spots if Jordan Cameron were to leave in free agency. So I think that gives them some size, gives them a red zone threat that they sorely need. And that's where I see him going with those two picks right now.
How do you compare a guy like Funchess to someone like Jalen Strong?
Different guys. Jalen Strong's got better hands. Funchess is more explosive, more reliable player in Jalen Strong, better, probably a little bit better route runner right now. Day one, he's a better player. Funchess, long-term, I think has more upside, more big play capability. And then you also add in the versatility to be able to slide inside if you needed him.
Do you see him kind of evolving into a Jimmy Graham type of a player, ideally?
I mean, it depends on what you want to do with him. But as a blocker, not going to give you a whole lot. Jimmy Graham doesn't give you a whole lot as a blocker either. But somebody that can go up and high point the football, absolutely. So I could see the way they employ Jimmy Graham, kind of flex him out or spread him out. I think you do the same thing with Funchess.
Do you feel in your mind there's a big drop-off after, say, Kevin White, Amari Cooper, Devontae Parker to that next tier of receiver?
Well, those are the three guys I think are top 10 picks, worthy of those top 10 selections. After that, it's not that big of a drop-off. Then you start getting into the Doriel Green-Beckham, who's just a physical freak. Devin Funchess, who we just talked about. There's a lot of different options there. Devin Smith from Ohio State's a vertical speed guy. And there's a depth all the way through. Third, fourth round, you're going to see a lot of good receivers.
When you look at this draft, the Browns, if maybe they go up, we've heard talk, maybe go up and get Mariota, mortgage a couple drafts. Is there a quarterback in this draft that you think is worthy of that type of a move?
Look, I think there's two guys clearly above everybody else in Winston and Mariota. Winston's my seventh player. Mariota's my 13th, 12th or 13th, somewhere around there. So I'm not going to mortgage all those draft picks to go all the way up there for a player who I don't think is, you know, one of the top five players in this draft, and I don't believe we have that this year.
Do you think any of the quarterbacks that might be available second, third, fourth round, whether it be a Hundley, a Bryce Petty, a Garrett Grayson, do any of them stand out to you as someone that could maybe develop into a starter in the NFL?
You know, I think probably most of them end up being backups when it's all said and done. I don't know that they're worth second-round picks, but you get into that third round. Garrett Grayson, for me, out of Colorado State's really intriguing. I think you got somebody that's got touch and timing. Those are the anticipation. He's somebody I'd like to work with, so I think him in the third, fourth round would be a good option.
So for the Browns, early you're saying defensive line, wide receiver. After that, as the draft progresses, where would you think they might be focused?
Well, you can look in a lot of different areas. Depth on the offensive line would be a place you could look. I know Schwartz played better this last year at right tackle, but you could always address that. There's a guard position you could address as well. And there's a lot of depth in this draft, those middle rounds. If they get another Joel Petonio, it'd be a good draft for them. So I think in that third, fourth round area, you look at the interior offensive line, it would be a place where I would look.
What do you think of Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel last year? Obviously, didn't have the rookie years people wanted to. Johnny's addressing his personal issues right now. Do you think Justin Gilbert's a guy who the light bulb can come on for and still be that lockdown corner?
That was more disappointing to me than Johnny Manziel last year, because Justin Gilbert, I thought, was the most talented corner in last year's draft class. Has all that ability. You saw it just in a microcosm of it in that one play against Indy, I believe, right? Yep. He had the pick six. But the accountability off the field, being dedicated to your craft, showing up on time, those things. Those are supposed to be a given, and that's what he has to correct, because I do believe in his ability on the field. If he's focused and doing the right things off the field, I think there's a chance you end up getting the player you thought you were getting when you took him that high.
All right, final one. A guy that I like personally, want to see get your take on, Max Williams. Is he a first-round talented tight end? Can he be a difference maker in the NFL?
I think he's the best tight end in this draft class. I don't think he's one of the 32 best players in this draft, but the fact that he's the clear-cut number one tight end, that could elevate him for a team in need at the position. But you talk about somebody that's got great hands. Wish he's a little bit taller, but he's got great hands. He's a fluid route runner. He can help you in the run game as well. He's not dynamic like Eric Ebron, who we saw last year, but just a very reliable player. I think could find his way into the back end of the first round. Probably should go in the second.
All right, that was Daniel Jeremiah talking about the Browns, giving some love to you, Gibbs, talking about the interior of
That's
the offensive line
about.
In the later rounds, which certainly is something that we could see. Now, when we come back, we will have CBS's draft expert, Dane Brugler, an Ohioan with us here, guy we love to talk to all the time as we get ready for the draft here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. He joins us live from the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis when we come back on ESPN 850 WKNR.